I'm going to preach a message tonight entitled, Seeing the Unseen. Seeing the Unseen. And I'm preaching from one of my favorite passages in the Bible. I want to read it to you, and then I'll come back and preach it as I believe that God has laid it on my heart. I want to teach you something that I believe will be just a fantastic blessing. In a way, am I going in and out? I feel like I'm going in and out. Do you lose me every once in a while? We've got to get new speakers. What we've done is we've put a new board in, and they said that all of our monitors are shot, our amps are shot, and these are shot. So that was a good day. And what they want to do is we got to buy new speakers. They're going to put them back here, and they're banana-shaped, so you'll hear in the balcony the same you'll hear here. And they got to do all new monitors. I mean, every service is just a hair's breadth. To finish up is about $12,000 to do that, but we don't really have any choice, or you're not going to be able to hear me, so we're going to have to move pretty quickly along those lines. But that's why we're having so much problem. It's not that we're negligent trying to fix it. They're trying to fix it. We just... Lady, put me back on this, Reuben. I can't take that. All right. Pick up, if you would, 2 Kings chapter 6, and let's go to verse number 8. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse number 8. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, "In such and such a place shall be my camp." And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down." And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, "Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" He figures there's a traitor. And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy..." What's that word? He's listening in his bedroom. And he said, "Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan." Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Now, in my reading so far, I understand that the king of Syria has a host, and the only two people I know with Elisha are himself and this guy. So it's a host versus two. And Elisha says that they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down, this is the Syrians now coming down to attack. When they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, "Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness." And he, God, smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, "This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom ye seek." They were seeking him, but he led them to Samaria. It came to pass, when they were come into Samaria, that Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see." So he prayed that they'd be blind. They were blinded. Now he's praying that God opens up their eyes. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. That had to shock the fire out of them. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, this is precious, when he saw them, "My father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them?" They were sitting ducks. And he answered, "Thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master." And he prepared great provision for them, and when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. Now get this. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. It's a fascinating event that happens here in the life of Elisha. I love this. I don't know why. I wrote some things down here. Why do I love this passage so much? I love the humor of it. I can just picture this king, okay? He's planning all these areas where he's going to go attack the nation of Israel. And every time he gets there, the attack is spoiled. And he can't find them. And he's so bothered by it. He's like, "Man, one of you guys is a traitor. I give up. Somebody tell me who in the world is on his side and you're in our camp." And then the guy tells him, "Listen, they got this guy over there. His name is Elisha. You know him. He's the prophet. He's listening to our conversations in your bedroom." Kind of creepy. You know, it's getting kind of creepy in our world. I'm kind of afraid that if they want to, they can see and hear in our bedroom today. It's almost, I put a towel over the television now, and I kind of hide myself a little bit. Are you looking through there? Who is out there? My phone, man, I don't know. It's kind of creepy. So here's the king. He's like, "Man, this guy's listening in our bedroom. He's listening to our things." And then it's funny, and he goes, "So let's go kill him." So if Elisha is hearing all of the plans so far, the plan to kill Elisha in the bedroom, don't you think Elisha heard that plan too? This guy's out of his mind. I love the humor of that. I love the underdog. I love the humility of to watch the mighty be humbled. Now, I am a huge LeBron James fan. I think he's not a Christian. He's not a spiritual man. I understand that. But on the basketball court, I'm his biggest fan. If he was not on my team, I'm not sure I would like him. My dad, I don't want to use the word hate. What would be, he can't stand LeBron James. If LeBron, if you listen to this message, I'm sorry about that. But he can't, because he thinks he's arrogant and he's all of this kind of stuff. That's fine, I agree, but he's on my team, so I love the guy. And so last night in the middle of the game, I get this text from my mom and dad. And it was not pleasant at all, I'll tell you that. They were watching the mighty be humbled. I love this king. He thinks he's going to just destroy Elisha, and he's got them all positioned, and they've snuck in there by night, and they just think, "We're going to go and we're going to eliminate this guy and we're going to kill him." And the surprise attack that God has on them. You know, I can just see him sitting up there at night saying, "We're going to get him. He's right there. We're going." And they don't know that on every mountain all around them are chariots of fire and a great host. And they have become, they've walked right into a trap. I love that about this story. I love the old man teaching the young man. I can just see Elisha, "God, open up this boy's eyes. He doesn't know what he's doing." By the way, let me thank God for godly old men. Young men need to respect godly old men. We need to respect all of them. But I thank God for an old man here that can, he's not rattled. He's not falling apart. I can just see him. I got this young punk kid here. He doesn't know what he's doing. God, open up the boy's eyes. I love that part. I love the confidence of Elisha. He's not afraid. You think with a host getting ready to attack them, and he's not bothered. He's not shaken. He's not running away. He's just trusting the Lord. I love that. I try to imagine when God opened up the servant's eyes and he saw that heavenly host, what do you think his reaction was? Think about that just a second. All he sees are these soldiers. And then all of a sudden he looks up and all he sees is the fiery chariots and a great host. I think the guy had quite a reaction about that. I enjoy thinking about that. And by the way, I enjoy watching anybody when our spiritual eyes are open and we come to the knowledge of the truth, and there's just this smile, there's surprise, this excitement, this joy. I'm sure that this young man was changed for his whole life. His whole life. I don't think he ever forgot what he saw on that mountain that day. I love this thing. I just enjoy it so much and get so much blessing from it. And I want to give you three thoughts tonight that I want you to write down. I'm going to walk you through a Bible thought process here where you're going to need to write down these scriptures and study them for yourself. But I got three lessons. The first lesson I want you to write down is this. How awesome it is to live by faith. How awesome it is to live by faith. How scary it is to live by sight. How awesome it is for God's child to live by faith. How scary it is to live by sight. You got two men here. One man is at perfect peace. This man lives by faith. This man trusts the Lord. The other young man, he lives by what he can see. You have a settled man and you have a scared servant. Now, I want to say something at this point, and I'm going to come back to it. I do not believe that Elisha saw the chariots of fire. I need you to hold that thought. Because the average Christian thinks this way. Well, of course, Elisha wouldn't have been afraid. He could see all of that stuff. Well, I wouldn't be afraid either if I could see some money in my account. I wouldn't be afraid either if I could see a job. Well, I wouldn't be afraid either if I could see some kind of something. So I got two men. One man is living by faith and he's settled like a rock. Got a young man who's living by sight and scared out of his mind. I got one man who is able to see, but he's not seeing what the young man sees at the moment. You know, most people think that there is security in what they can see. Most of God's people were confident when we walk by our sight. We think that, well, if I can see my problem and I can see the answer, then I can have control. And man, I don't care what you say, human nature loves to be in control. And when we feel like control has been eliminated from us, we're scared out of our mind. We think that if I can see the supply of my need, that will settle me. Then I won't panic. We kind of think that if you would just let me know it's going to be okay by doing this, then of course I won't be afraid. I'll trust you. Let me tell you something. If God let you know what He had planned for your life tomorrow, you'd be scared out of your mind. Everything is opposite. It's not our physical sight that brings security and confidence and control and no panic and a steadfastness. That's what faith brings to our lives. But we have a hard time computing the two. And this is a wonderful, wonderful teaching on this, because all this boy can do is he sees physically. Elisha sees spiritually. This boy's operating from a position of fear. Elisha's operating from a position of faith. Elisha doesn't see the host of fire, but he's still secure. He's still confident. He's still in control. There's no panic in him, and there's no fear. All of those things are over here. And when you and when I learn to walk by faith, that is when we are protected. That is when we are settled. That is when we are in the most control. That is when there is no panic. That is when fear has nowhere to go in our lives. That's why the Lord Jesus said, don't walk by sight, but walk by faith. And God's people said, be careful of having to see it. It's awesome to live by faith. Pastor, I cannot exercise faith. Then you have a problem, because the Bible says the blank shall live by faith. Somebody know what the blank is? The just, which means the saved person will live by faith. That doesn't mean you'll have a perfect life of faith. But that means the bent and the drive of your life. A man who can, or a woman who can never obey or believe or put in practice the word of God, and they're just so terrified and paralyzed by fear, and there's absolutely no life of faith, that life goes contrary to that verse. You better make sure you're born again. The just shall live by faith. It's awesome to live by faith. Number two, write this down. Spiritual vision must be opened by God. Spiritual vision must be opened by God. So if Elisha is operating in faith, the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now I want to show you how God opens up. What does it mean to have our eyes opened up spiritually? When Elisha prayed, open up the young man's eyes, he did let the young man see a visible demonstration of the evidence of God. The young man was able to see that. And sometimes God will let you see a visible demonstration. But when God's talking about opening up your eyes and he's talking about spiritual vision, you have to go to the book of Luke to see what he's talking about. Come, if you would, to Luke chapter 24. And here's where we're going to make some direction and go to some places. This is when you want to write these scripture passages down in order. Look, if you would, at Luke 24. And I want you to pick up in verse number 30. This is after the Lord Jesus resurrected. He's on the road to Emmaus. We won't read the whole thing. We're just going to read a couple of verses. Verse 30. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, he blessed it, and he brake, and he gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the what class? Scriptures. Come down, if you would, to verse number 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their what class? Understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. Okay. So, in the New Testament, when the Bible is talking about opening up our eyes, and the Bible is talking about spiritual vision, and the Bible is talking about spiritual understanding, he's talking about the opening up of the Word of God in our lives and the necessity of the Word of God in our lives. See, if I'm ever going to live by faith, I must have God's Word. Amen. Most Christians don't spend time in God's Word. Therefore, faith is not developed. You're not going to develop faith by thinking about your problem. You're not going to develop faith by coming to church. You're not going to develop faith by singing or serving or just by praising the name of Jesus. Faith is developed in the Word of God. And when Jesus is walking on the road, he's opening up their eyes. What was he opening up their eyes to? He was opening up their eyes all the way back to the Old Testament, all of that scripture, seeing how it was fulfilled in the person of Christ. And then he goes on at the end of that chapter to say, then he opened up their understanding to the scripture. Spiritual vision is the Word of God. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Come on, stay with me. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul understood this. Paul picks up on this in Ephesians chapter number 1. Look at verse number 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being, what's that word class? Enlightened, opened. This is a prayer for the church at Ephesus that through the Spirit of God, the Word of God, that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened. Now watch where he goes with this. That ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So Paul says, I'm asking God to open up your understanding, to open up your enlightenment, to give you a direction. Find, if you would, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews, you got to turn to Hebrews. See, most people think most people think that faith enables me to see visibly. Faith is not the same as your sense of sight in your physical body. The sense of sight in your physical body allows you to see physical things. Faith is not going to let you see visible things. Faith is going to let you see invisible things. Look, if you would, at verse 27. By faith, he, Moses, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is what class? Invisible. See, here's where most of God's people, we get so discouraged here. Because we want to walk by faith. We want to exercise faith. We want to be obedient. But we just have this thought process that when I give myself to faith, there will be this physical manifestation and I will see it. So you come forward and you submit yourself to whatever God wants, and you submit yourself to his authority, you submit yourself to go by faith, and then you expect to go to work the next day and see visibly something happen. And because I don't see it visibly, then I get rattled, I get afraid. I think, well, God, you're not going to do it, so on and so forth. And so the mindset is, Pastor, it's unfair because to compare me to Elisha, because God let Elisha see this physical fire. No, he didn't. He let the young man see it. But Elisha saw the invisible, the same as Moses. Well, Pastor, what would I see that is invisible? Okay. Come up a little bit from Moses, and I'll show you this. Look at verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Moses saw in Christ hope, and he saw satisfaction, he saw blessing, he saw all of that. He wasn't looking for the visible manifestation of wealth. He saw it in the Lord. He had faith. Faith wasn't just his problems were all answered, but it was invisible, but yet it was there. It was there. What was there, Pastor? The same thing was with Moses. That was the same thing with Elisha. That better be the same thing with you. Come to Psalm 34. Come to verse number 7. Actually, verse number 6. Are you there? If you don't stay with me mentally, you're going to miss out on a minute going, yahoo, because we're all going to shout. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. And what class? Who wrote this? David. At this time in 2 Kings chapter 6, is David dead or alive? He's been dead for years. He's been dead for years. We're talking about 2 Kings. We're talking about the kingdom transition in 1 Kings. He died in 1 Kings chapter 2. So for years the man's been dead. But he wrote this Bible promise that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and he does what, class? Come to Psalm 125. Look at verse number 1. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people. From henceforth, even how long, class? For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. When you come to 2 Kings chapter number 6, Elisha is surrounded. And Elisha knows that he is a righteous man. And Elisha has these people, and they are encamped around him. Stay with me. Elisha knew the Bible. Elisha knew the promises of God. Elisha knew that the Lord encamped him. He knew the Lord was round him. He knew the Lord would deliver him. How did he know that? He knew the word of God. Elisha didn't look up in the morning and see all that fire. He woke up and believed the word of God. And it was vision to him. See, we wake up and all we see is our problem. We wake up and all we see is our negative. We wake up, all we see is our limitation. And we don't see the need being met. We don't see the provision. We can't see the physical demonstration. So we just pout or we surrender. But I'm telling you, this is more real than your physical sight. And Elisha got up and the young boy went nuts. How are we going to make it? And I know the old man said, the Lord encampeth around us. They got us surrounded, don't they? Hey, I remember where David said the Lord would be around them on the mountain. Lord, open up the boy's eyes. And he opened that boy's eye to see something physically that Elisha was already settled in by faith. And that's how we make it through the Christian life. We make it through on the Word of God. And the Word of God opens up our eyes. And even though I don't see my need being met, I got this promise. Even though it looks tough, this is what you said. And so I'm going to be settled. I'm going to be secure. I'm going to be confident. I'm going to stay in control. I'm not going to panic. I'm not going to fear. I don't know how you're going to put money in my account, but you're going to do it. I don't know how we're going to make it, but we're going to make it. I don't know how you're going to do this, but you're going to do it. Because you said in your word this promise. And by the way, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And God's people said, you got to go that direction. Third point. Pastor, I didn't think this thing could get any better. Hold on. How awesome to live by faith. Our eyes got to be opened to God by the Word of God. And then if you look at verse number 17 of chapter 6. Bible said, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. And really and truthfully, it gives a description here of what he saw. He saw the mountain full of horses and chariots, just like the Bible said it would be. And really and truthfully, the third point is this. When God opens your eyes, he opens your eyes to truth and reality. Truth and reality. Now I need you to find two more verses. I need you to go to 1 John chapter 4, and I need you to go back to Ephesians chapter 1, and I'll be done. Go to Ephesians 1, 1 John 4. You need to read it with your own eyeballs. 1 John 4. And Ephesians chapter 1. Really and truthfully, when you boil down what God opened up the young man's eyes to see, I think there's a wonderful description of that in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. John is writing here, and he's writing to secure God's people. And he says, "Ye are of God, little children, and you've overcome them," speaking about the wicked spirit in the world, "because," what is that next word? "Greater. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." And here's what God did to that boy. Elisha already knew that the word of God was the greatest authority on the earth. And Elisha was already settled in the fact that it didn't matter how many horses and how many chariots there were, they were not greater than God. And really and truthfully, when the young man's eyes opened up and he saw all of that, really what he was seeing is that the king of Syria is not the greatest power in the moment. God was the greatest power in the moment. And what he was seeing is as impressive and intimidating as that force was, when God was revealed, it was paled in comparison. It was like boys against men. I mean, it was like rookies against professionals. I mean, he's terrified out of his mind. He's looking around, and all of a sudden he sees God, and he's like, "You boys don't stand a chance." And the confidence that came in that guy, because he got to see the greatness of God. And John said, "Church, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." I got news for you. Jesus Christ is great. And there's nothing greater. So when you're intimidated by the enemy, and he's got you surrounded, he is great. Now here's where you fall so short. Yeah, he's great, Pastor, and I love him. And I know he's powerful, and I know he's honest. But if I could just see him. John says, his name is the Word. You see him in here. Jesus Christ is exactly the way he looks in the Word of God. We think this is just words on a paper. We think if I could see him coming down in some way and showing how great he was, I'd be okay. Then look at him in here, because in here he's beautiful. And he's great. And he's equal to this. And if you don't trust this, you wouldn't trust him if you could see him. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 18, we read, it said, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." I love the rest of this chapter. "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality, above all power, above all might, above all dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. If Jesus Christ is your head, say amen. He's great. He's above every principality. He's above every power, every might, every dominion, every name, everything. Dominion he has. Everything is put under his feet. And he lives in my heart. And I'm so weak that I have to say, I don't see you. Where you at? He's right here. Elisha didn't see them chariots on fire. He saw the word of God. He saw the word of God. That's how you're going to make it. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. It's awesome to live by faith. God will open our eyes and our enlightenment according to his word. And he will allow us to see his greatness. Shall we pray?